This morning, the Supreme Court heard arguments about whether or not the Second Amendment actually means anything. Is it some sort of a relic of the past that has no operative force today? Does it guarantee a right to follow military orders, or does it do what most Americans understand it does? It guarantees an individual right of American citizens to defend themselves and their families in their own homes with simple, ordinary firearms, including handguns. The court asked a lot of very insightful and interesting questions. They've clearly read and studied the matter, as we would have expected them to do so, and we look forward to the decision in June. We feel very good about the way the argument went, and we do look forward to seeing this case resolved. We believe that the Second Amendment does indeed have relevance today and remains an operative right in the nation's capital.
Clark Neely, counsel for Heller, the respondents in this case. You know, it's important to know, and I think the Supreme Court will hopefully tell us, the Constitution does not end at the borders of the District of Columbia. The citizens of Washington, D.C. enjoy all of the constitutional rights that every citizen enjoys, including the right to keep and bear arms. We're very pleased with the way the arguments went today, and we look forward to the court's decision in June.
I'm Bob Levy, co-counsel for Mr. Heller. This case is about self-defense. It's about the right to keep and bear arms in the context of one's home in a dangerous community. And we're comfortable that the argument went well, and the court will see that right as an individual right that can be exercised by residents of Washington, D.C., which means that Washington, D.C. will have to revise its gun laws. This is not about prohibiting Washington, D.C. from regulating firearms. They can craft reasonable regulations, but an outright ban on all handguns in all homes at all times for all people is not a reasonable regulation. Indeed, it's not a regulation at all. It's a prohibition. And we are hopeful that the court will find that to be unconstitutional, as it should, under the Second Amendment.
Hi, I'm Dick Heller. Dick Heller is the name, citizen of D.C. I was inside hearing the arguments. I was very pleased the way they went. And I'm privileged to live in a country where the citizen can still take his argument of the violation of his constitutional rights to the highest court in the land and be vindicated.
Thanks.
Tom? My name is Tom Palmer, also a D.C. resident and one of the original plaintiffs, and I'm pretty confident that the court is going to vindicate my right to self-defense under the American Constitution. The Bill of Rights applies in D.C. as well. I'm alive because I once had to use a handgun in self-defense. That's why I'm standing here in front of you. And I would like to have the right for a firearm in my home for self-defense purposes. We're very confident in our lawyers.
Thank you. All right, I guess we'll take questions from the press if there are any.
Sir, what makes you so confident that you're going to win?
Well, the arguments went very well. We believe the justices have fairly considered the issue, and we look forward to the opinion.
But the other side said the same thing.
We'll find out in June. I'll be happy to return in June and find out the answer. I'm sure we're all looking forward to see what the answer might be.
And are you all co-counsels? Is that right?
That's correct.
Thank you. What do you think your strongest argument was today?
Well, the strongest argument is the fact that the Second Amendment means what it says, that people have an individual right to keep weapons at home for self-defense. It's what the framers intended. It's what they wrote down. It's what they asked for, and it's what's been understood throughout American history until recently. Some people don't like parts of the Constitution, and they make up interesting arguments for why we should ignore it, but I don't believe that those arguments will prevail in the end.
As I said, the city should revise its laws. What type of revision is acceptable? If the city says you can have a gun, but you have to have it in your home, but you have to have it disassembled, is that reasonable? What's reasonable in your mind?
Of course, this is a legislative function, and we're not legislators. We did indicate at oral argument that reasonable regulations were okay with us, and some of the things that we have suggested might be reasonable, and depends on how they're crafted, are things like registration requirements, keeping guns away from kids, keeping guns away from violent felons, keeping guns away from crazy people. There's no question, and keeping certain weapons away from everybody. So there's no question that these kinds of regulations could be crafted, and it's up to the city council to craft them in a fashion that they will pass judicial review.
If I may follow up, reasonable to ban types of handguns, or simply all handguns bans are
wrong? We've suggested that certain types of handguns could be banned. For example, plastic handguns that are intended to survive metal detectors. They could be banned.
Thank you.
Mr. Heller? The mayor, if you could stand in front of the microphone, please. The mayor says if you are successful in your case, that that will result in more guns being available to D.C. residents and will make the city less safe. Why is he not correct in that assessment?
Because well-armed citizens are a very polite society.
Okay. Sir, why does this case mean so much to you? Why was it worth taking to the Supreme Court?
It's a basic issue of our constitutional rights to our life, and self-defense has been violated. And additionally, as a security officer, I carry a gun to protect government officials, but my life isn't worth protecting at home, in their eyes.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you again in June.
Sorry.
I'm Dave Kopel. I'm from the Independence Institute in Golden, Colorado. I'm not one of Mr. Heller's lawyers, but I was one of the lawyers at the council table for respondents today. I authored the amicus brief on behalf of the Independence Institute and a very large law enforcement coalition of the International Law Enforcement Educators and Trainers Association, was the lead, also the Maryland State Fraternal Order of Police, the Southern States Police Benevolent Association, 29 California elected attorneys general, the Texas Municipal Police Association, and many others. On behalf, we presented the law enforcement argument, which seemed to resonate with much of the court, that firearms in the hands of law-abiding, good citizens enhance public safety and help the police, and that Washington, D.C.'s law, rather than aiming to take guns away from criminals, which is very proper use of firearms laws, instead harms public safety by taking firearms away that law-abiding people need to protect themselves. I'd be happy to take questions afterward, but I also like to bring up someone much more important than me, which is Stephen Holbrook, the author of the congressional brief.
Thank you, David. I'm Stephen Holbrook. I filed the amicus brief on behalf of 55 senators, the Senate president, and 250 representatives. The brief was orchestrated by Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson. And we pointed out in our brief that Congress has always interpreted the Second Amendment to protect individual rights. Actually, the Second Amendment, like the rest of the Bill of Rights, was written by the Congress in 1789. They submitted it to the states, and thereafter, in critical times in American history, Congress has declared the Second Amendment to protect individual rights of citizens to keep and bear arms. For example, after the Civil War and the Freedmen's Bureau Act of 1866, Congress saw and declared the Second Amendment to protect civil rights of freed slaves and their right to protect to possess firearms. In 1941, when the threat of Nazism was a real worldwide threat, Congress again declared the Second Amendment to be an individual right and made clear in legislation that citizens' arms could not be confiscated by the government, and in further later times in history. So I just want to say we're very optimistic from the way the argument went today, and on behalf of all those senators and members of Congress that I specified, we look forward to a favorable outcome. Thank you.